7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. We're having a great start to the day. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. Busy show today. We've got Mav Day at Cutter Craft Coffee and Beer coming up at 9 this morning. So we'll be on location over there across from Houston Hall from 9 to 10 o'clock. Let's see. Chris Hanks will be there. Maverick baseball coach. Megan Boatte, the softball coach. And Mickey Wender, swim and dive coach. Coach of the year, by the way. Congratulations to Mickey. And Lauren White, 30-time All-American.
Oh, is that all?
That's all.
That's 30?
Just 30. Yeah, that's it. It's been a nice little career for Lauren
just
White.
Just about average. Just kidding.
It's incredible.
Yes.
30-time All-American. Lauren White will join us over there at Cutter Craft Coffee and Beer, where they do not charge you for coffee add-ons, by the way. Keep that in mind. So we'll be over there from 9 to 10 o'clock this morning, but we have a lot to get to on the program. Trevor Baskin is going to move on.
Be gone.
Don't think it's a major surprise.
No, not really.
But he told the Daily Sentinel that he's making a business decision in terms of trying to play professional basketball moving forward. And feels like that opportunity is there at the D1 level. He said he had talked with Mike DeGeorge about it. And then there's Mike DeGeorge.
Be gone.
Well, Mike's not gone.
Eh.
We don't know that yet. Trevor said, yes, he's transferring.
Right. Paper says Mike confirmed it to them.
They said he did not comment.
Oh, I thought I said confirm.
No. Trevor confirmed that he is transferring. Mike did not respond to comment, is what I saw in the paper.
The one I saw this morning, I thought it said it confirmed the change.
Soon, looking here just to double check. Did not immediately return a request for comment from Mike DeGeorge.
Okay.
Okay, so this was a article. This is from the print edition. So we're looking at two different editions. So,
Okay. So I'm on the website.
Okay.
I didn't.
Well, I'm on the website too, but I'm looking at the print edition this morning. And so he has confirmed it. Okay.
That's a bummer.
My apologies on that.
Be gone. Well,
we looked at two different things. Yeah. One, they had not updated it yet. At least the print edition did not have it in there.
Either way, that's I'm both not surprised and a little surprised.
So I hate when they have the print edition and then they have the.
I love the no print, like no physical actual paper on Mondays and Tuesdays
because sometimes you go to the web edition and they don't have sometimes what's in the print edition.
Exactly.
Yes,
it's so much fun. A lot can change in that shipping from Montrose to Grand Junction.
Barely so.
Coach can leave for a job. Else,
yeah. So anyway, according to the paper, stand corrected, he has confirmed that he's
headed to Cal Poly.
Yeah.
Like I said,
is it he's going or he's acknowledging he interviewed for the job?
It says he's leaving to become the men's basketball coach. DeGeorge confirmed the change.
Okay. I'm just seeing when they poke it.
35 minutes.
Okay. So, because when I wrote this, was not on there.
Oh, gotcha.
So, because I wrote this well over an hour ago.
Gotcha.
So.
When it comes to the change, that's.
Regardless, Mike's leaving.
Yeah.
And Trevor's leaving, and that stinks.
With the way that the Mavs have been the last. Seven years under Mike. I'm surprised that he's leaving, but I'm also not surprised that he's leaving, I guess. I'm surprised he's stayed this long with as good as they were. I'm surprised he hasn't been poached in the meantime. And maybe there's been offers and it's just not been the right, you know, situation for him to move. Cause I know he had multiple kids in high school playing sports and you know, friends and the whole family and all that whole thing. And now I think there's maybe just one little MDG left in high school.
I believe that is the case.
So
yes.
Maybe that makes it easier. Maybe it's a better situation. It's a good get for Cal Poly, though.
Who ended the season on a 20-game losing streak.
Yeah.
By the way.
They need a good get.
They need something.
I think Mike won more games this year in March than they have in the last two seasons each. Seven, yeah. I think. So.
It's coach of the year this year.
Yeah.
He's a back-to-back coach of the year in the RMAC. That's going to be tough to replace.
Yeah, my t-shirt idea is up in smoke, though, too.
That's yeah, it's gone. Problem. That's gone.
My notorious MDG t-shirt.
Not going to give that to Cal Poly.
No. I'm not going to speak that into existence. They're going to have to come up with their own
idea.
Yeah,
so as of this morning, the Daily Sentinel said it. Initially, it was he had not commented. Mm-hmm. Now, apparently, he commented this morning that he is taking the job at Cal Poly. So things move fast in the world.
Things change quickly.
Yes, they do. All right, 7:06. So I've got some reaction to that. I just think that's huge. It's a huge loss with Trevor Baskin deciding to transfer. Mike, that's devastating.
Yeah, because, I mean, we always knew there was going to be life without Trevor Baskin.
At some point, he's going to graduate. College, or, right? Eligibility ends. And
yeah. I guess as soon as they had, like, back-to-back 21 seasons or whatever it was, you're kind of just have a countdown of, is this the off season? And then we get to, like, October, and we start to talk CMU basketball and look on the rundown. It's like, Mike, you're trying. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, Mike. All right, Mike's not going anywhere.
Got another year. And like I said, I'm both surprised and not. I'm surprised that he's leaving. I'm also surprised that he was here for 6 years. He's the guy that turns around programs.
Four consecutive trips to the NCAA tournament, yeah. Two Sweet 16 appearances, turned things around at Rhodes College in Memphis. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has that reputation of going in and turning programs around, and like, that's what he did in Mesa.
They may be as good as they've ever been at this point.
Oh, I'd say so. In the D2 NCAA era, yes.
So
Jim Heaps had some really good teams, but nobody
Jim Sweet 16s in 3 years.
Yeah, Jim never took him to a Sweet 16. Doug Skocel took them to the NAIA National Tournament when he was there, but that was NAIA. And yeah, success at the Division II level that they never had previously,
and the caliber of players they've gotten from, you know, wherever, like California, Arizona, some great Colorado players, whether they got them to transfer or to just stay in state, period. Like, they got the job done. You know, it was this guy turns programs around when he came in. He's like, oh, you know, he turned this college around. He turned this college around. And CMU, like, they weren't, you know, 4-28 bad like Cal Poly is, but they needed a new to kind of get things back on track and in a new direction, and he did that.
Andy Shantz, they were 72-70 when he was there, 55-55 in conference, and just didn't feel like, no offense to Andy, was going anywhere. And then Mike comes in with some of those kids like Tommy Nuno from Half Moon Bay out in California.
Yeah, Georgia Dancer, Blake Street, those guys, those type Jared of Small. Caliber of players. Jared Small.
Those guys all came in and changed things very quickly.
Like Trevor Baskin, that was, I don't want to say it's an easy get because it's not, because he's a fantastic high school player, but his dad, John's the school's all-time leading scorer. Yeah,
and Trevor's fifth all-time.
Yeah. You know, to get the kid to come to where the old man played is not nothing.
Yeah. And so, man, it's a huge loss.
Yeah.
It's a huge loss for the Maverick basketball program, that for the school, losing guy, a class guy, quality guy, in Mike DeGeorge. And I know we'll probably be trying to reach out to Mike and get some comments from him, perhaps Trevor Baskin as well. So, but yeah, just disappointed. Understand it's an opportunity for Mike, and we're on this program, the last guys I'll ever tell somebody that they shouldn't take an opportunity that to better their career, their playing situation, like in the case of Trevor Baskin.
But also, why don't they think about us? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Totally kidding.
Yeah, so I'm glad we got that clarified because I wrote that about an hour ago. And so it's like, oh, okay, well.
It's fast developing.
Yes. But then what, the last 30 minutes?
Yeah, we're spraining news. Not necessarily breaking news. We're spraining news.
Yes. All right. Good work from James Berkey over the Sentinel, by the way, on this. Give him full credit for that. All right, 7-11. Jim along with the Buckeye boy today, so you got some reaction to that. Broncos are going to get new unis. Also, Sean Payton. I don't want to talk about any of the quarterbacks.
Get guys in the new unis, too. New guys.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about any of the quarterbacks. But, hey, we were out looking at J.J. McCarthy. It's like, wait a minute. Wait, Sean, you were just saying that you weren't going to talk about any of the players. And yet there you were talking about J.J. McCarthy. So
I don't get what he's trying to do. I really don't understand what he's trying to do with all of that. What's the point?
He personally didn't go see McCarthy work out. George Payton did. I just don't, to me, is it, are you trying to float that out there? Are you trying to play some poker? Are you trying to, oh, I don't want to talk about anybody. Oh, but we had guys looking at McCarthy.
Are you trying to get him to climb so other guys fall to you so you don't have to move up to get?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe. I don't know.
So you'd have two Jared Stidhams on your roster?
That could be the case. I don't know.
I don't know.
Is he trying to play poker, or is it just he just says what he thinks, kind of like the USA Today, the infamous USA Today interview? He says what he thinks and doesn't really think about the repercussions of it, or I'm not sure.
If that's the case, that guy needs to meditate a little bit because his brain's a little scrambled at times. If he just says what's on his mind and this is what it is, like, you need a focus advisor. I'm not going to talk about any of the quarterbacks in the draft board, but man, did you see that Caleb Williams play? It's like, hold on a second.
And I just, to me, it's like if you're not going to talk about anybody and then you start going on and on about one particular quarterback, isn't that kind of counter to what you're trying to do?
Well, and not saying this happened, but this is something that I feel would be in the Sean Payton playbook is I'm not going to talk about quarterbacks today, but man, J.J. McCarthy looks really good. Oh, okay, coach, so now you're talking. Let me ask you. Well, no, I said I'm not talking about quarterbacks.
Because it started out where somebody asked him, and then he's like, well, I'm not really going to talk about any of the players right now in the draft. And then later on,
a few moments later,
I wasn't at JJ's pro day, but we had a private the next day. We sent him a bunch of information, and where'd the rest of this go? Okay. Sent him a bunch of information, spent 4 or 5 hours with him, and made him throw all over again. It was all part of the process. It can help lead to a more efficient, more effective position.
I'm not going to talk about players specifically, except for this one.
Except for this one guy.
What is he trying to do?
So you felt like it was okay to talk about him because you weren't there?
Right. It's like, oh, so this is all hearsay, so I can say it without libel or
something? But he said he wasn't at the pro day. So, okay, let's. I know this is more for 8 o'clock hour, but I wasn't at JJ's pro day, but we had a private the next day. So you weren't at the pro day, but did you meet with him privately? He said, we sent him a bunch of information, spent 4 or 5 hours with him, and made him throw all over again. So did he meet with him when they had the private day with him? You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, it doesn't say.
He can say he wasn't at his pro day. Okay. But then you had a private workout session with him.
Right.
Which leads you to believe
that you were there for that.
You were there for that one. Because it said we sent him a bunch of information, spent 4 or 5 hours with him.
What coach in his right mind would not be at a private workout for a player?
Particularly a head coach that's involved in this process is
like
intimately.
Like, doesn't need to be there. But Sean Payton probably should.
Probably so.
I'm not going to say we're drafting this kid, but look, we had him throw routes to Cortland Sutton.
But it gets down to simply this, though. He said he wasn't going to talk about any of the quarterbacks or any of the players in the draft, and yet here he was talking about one particular guy who they've already been linked to previously.
The same answer? That'd be awesome. I'm not going to talk about quarterbacks, although J.J. McCarthy is pretty awesome. We watched him be awesome for 5 hours.
So when you look at it, he was there with him during the pro day. Not the pro day, but the private session. But then Sean Payton, according to reports, has not been seen at the pro days for Caleb Williams or Bo Nix or Spencer Rattler. You know, and probably won't be there for Drake May or Jaden Daniels either. If he goes, but they also could have a private workout session where he could very well be with around these guys.
And I wouldn't waste my time with the pro day for Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels.
It's like just there. They're going to be long gone.
Caleb Williams' pro day should really only have three people at it.
It's going to be long gone.
Ryan Poles and whoever the Bears head coach is at the moment. And Justin Fields. That'd be hilarious. See, Justin, watch this guy. And we're going to trade you. Yeah. You should watch.
All right, 7:16. So it is official this morning through the Daily Sentinel. Mm-hmm. I want to give them full credit for this. Trevor Baskin is transferring.
Be gone.
And Mike DeGeorge is leaving to go to Cal Polytechnic Division I program in California. So he is leaving the Mavs. All right. So if you got some reaction to that today, you can text in on the team line, 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye boy today. Sorry, we had that initial kerfuffle. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm looking at it. And
we saw two different.
What I'm seeing, there's nothing.
Editions of the article.
Yes. One more updated far more recently. Mm-hmm. Within the last 30 minutes or so. But nonetheless, the result's still sad.
Yeah.
With Mike DeGeorge leaving Colorado Mesa. All right, 7:17, and it's time for...
What's happening?
All right, lead things off this morning with the Colorado Mesa basketball news. Colorado Mesa basketball player Trevor Baskin is hitting the transfer portal. The Daily Sentinel reports the RMAC Player of the Year will head to a Division I program after leading the Mavericks to the D2 Sweet 16. Baskin told the Sentinel he loves CMU, but it's a business decision in regard to his dream of playing professional basketball. Baskin averaged 18 points per game, along with 8 rebounds and almost 4 assists per game, and helping the Mavs to a program-best 29 wins. He's also up for the Vivo Francis Award given to the top player in D2. Baskin is 5th all-time in scoring in CMU history. With his father, John, is the Mavs' all-time leading scorer. He says he has not decided on where he'll transfer to, but he'll join former teammate Blaze Thrade, who moved on to Weber State, and Black Hill State's Joel Scott, who transferred to Colorado State as RMAC players that moved on to D1 programs. And not only is Baskin transferring, the rumors are now fact. Mike DeGeorge has confirmed that he is leaving Colorado Mesa to take the job at Division I Cal Polytechnic. And George won 2 RMAC Coach of the Year awards, taking the Mavs to 4 consecutive NCAA tournaments, and also led the Mavs to the most wins in school history. Cal Poly went 4-28 at the end of the season on a 20-game losing streak. So it has been confirmed this morning that Mike DeGeorge is leaving to go to Cal Poly out in California. Trevor Baskin and Mac Reneker earned another set of awards. The redshirt junior is earning the National Association of Basketball Coaches All-District Team selections. Baskin picking up first-team All-South Central. Reneker earning second-team. Baskin was also the RMAC Player of the Year. Reneker the Defensive Player of the Year, despite injury cutting his season short as CMU went to the Sweet 16 for just the second time in program history. Nikola Jokic, Christian Brown, and the Nuggets bench helped to lead Denver to a 128-103 thumping of Memphis Monday night at Ball Arena. The Nuggets played without Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon, with Murray dealing with an ankle sprain and Gordon a foot injury. Jokic scored 29 points and grabbed 11 rebounds along with 8 assists, with Brown moving into the starting lineup to add 17 points. Denver coach Mike Malone says after a tough trip home from Portland, he loved the way his team opened up the homestand.
That's the way you want to start off a 5-game homestand. Very business-like approach, very mature approach. And, you know, we got contributions across the board tonight.
Nuggets bench scoring was terrific, with Julian Strother scoring 14 points, with Justin Holiday adding 11 points, and Peyton Watson 10 points. Denver leads the Western Conference by a game over Oklahoma City. Yesterday in spring training baseball, the Rockies fell to the Brewers 10-1. They get to Milwaukee again today, 1 o'clock here on the Team Sports Network. Tonight, the Avalanche square off against Montreal at Ball Arena. Pre-game at 6:30 for that one. Back to the Rockies, shortstop Ezekiel Tovar is getting a nice payday. Denver Post reports a 22-year-old has agreed to a 7-year deal worth $63.5 million of the club option in 2031. That'll give the contract a value of $84 million. Tovar tied Todd Helton's franchise rookie record for most homers with 15, with 37 doubles and 153 games played as a rookie. Tovar was also a finalist for the Gold Glove Award, and the deal is pending a physical. Back to the NFL, we spent a lot of time talking about that before. What's happening? Broncos coach Sean Payton, general manager George Payton, and the rest of the Denver front office are at the NFL annual meetings in Orlando, Florida this week. Sean Payton addressed several issues, including the Broncos' decision to not pursue top-free agent quarterbacks in Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield.
Certainly, I think we're a place that other quarterbacks would like to come to, and yet we weren't just going to sign a quarterback to sign one. You know, we'll be smart about our thoughts relative to who's coming in, and then most importantly, what the vision is for the player.
Payton says the Broncos are still looking at remaining free agent quarterbacks. He also commented on Denver's interest in Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. Payton had previously stated he wouldn't talk about any of the rookie quarterbacks, but did mention about George Payton going to watch McCarthy work out, then also mentioned a private workout the team had. In league news, the owners approved banning the hip drop tackle. The Broncos also teased on social media they'll be getting new uniforms soon. The team posted a clip with the caption, "New threads," with team president Damani Leach confirming that the team will be wearing new uniforms the upcoming season. The last major uniform change for the Broncos occurred ahead of the 97 Super Bowl winning season. For the second straight week, CMU's Kelsey Vieger is the RMAC Women's Lacrosse Defensive Player of the Week. Vieger recorded 4 ground balls and 4 cause turnovers in Wednesday's win over Rockhurst. Then against University India, Vieger got 2 ground balls, 3 forced turnovers despite the loss. Vieger is the reigning RMAC Defensive Player of the Year. Mavs play Westminster Friday in Salt Lake City. And that's a look at
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. ComWest helps business owners grow their business by providing quality, reliable, personalized technology solutions. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone system surveillance, network support, cybersecurity, backup and disaster recovery. And ComWest is serious about your IT's and your business's IT services and support. And for the past 20 years, they've remained dedicated to providing business owners with the right technology solution. So call them today at ComWest, 970-242-8142. Or go to comwestcorp.com to learn more about them. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Nuggets get a big win last night. Memphis very depleted last night, but so are the Nuggets as well in that game at Ball Arena. We'll dive into that coming up next. This is the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Is that little, was that Montrose or Sammy?
That's Sammy Solo, VOA, Voice of America.
It's a really good album.
Great song. I love that video.
Okay, Can't Drive 55.
Yeah. I love the video where they're in the war room with the real bad fake President Reagan.
Yeah.
It comes pear dropping through the ceiling because the White House would have a glass, you know, like sunroom where they Of course they would.
Yeah, that was a great album by Sammy. And out touring this summer.
He looked like such a baby, too. So young.
Yeah. Of course, then the Montrose stuff was fantastic.
He still doesn't look like he's closing in on 80, though. So
he does not, does he?
Yeah. Apparently, I need to drink more tequila. Because he doesn't look very old. And he drinks a lot of tequila.
I was watching with Eugene Levy. It's on Apple. It's called The Reluctant Traveler. He goes to all these different places in the world because he says he doesn't like to travel, but he does his traveling.
Steve Jobs' estate pays me to.
And so, yeah, he was in Germany last night at some health retreat, and he's 76, and I'm going, dude does not move like he's 76. And he says he's not really into health stuff, but he's pretty lean guy.
Right.
And I was kind of going, wow. I mean, because you can tell people get older, you know, aches and pains. But Eugene Levy still moves around pretty good. Kind of like Sammy.
Yeah.
Still does. And Bruce Dickinson, same
thing. Bruce is ridiculous.
Yeah, he is defying time. He's like Brady.
Right.
I mean,
his is not even just the fact that he's getting older, but all of the health issues too. And he just does not care.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that show in October.
Should be really good. All right, so last night the Nuggets did not have Jamal Murray. They didn't have Aaron Gordon. But still got Nikola Jokic. And that's all you really need on a lot of nights. As the Nuggets last night, beat a Grizzlies team that's also pretty beat up right now. But Denver led by as many as 29 points. They shot 53% from the field. Just hammered the Grizzlies last night, 128-103. Jokic, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. And then Christian Brown got put into the starting lineup because of the Jamal Murray injury. He had 17 points and 5 rebounds. And for Michael Porter Jr., he had just 11 points. He was held under 20 for the second consecutive game. So a little bit of a scoring drought, if you will, or at least reduced scoring for Michael Porter Jr. But Murray played or didn't play because of the left ankle sprain. Aaron Gordon dealing with a foot injury. So Reggie Jackson got the start last night as well. But part of the story was obviously Nikola Jokic. He's always part of the story. But also, the way the bench played last night, Nuggets bench was phenomenal. Julian Strother, former Gonzaga player, 14 points last night, coming off the bench. Justin Holiday had 11. Peyton Watson had 10.
They had me run into the Google, too, because I don't know who Braxton Key is, but he played for like 3 minutes last night. Knocked down a three.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm like, who is this kid? And thanks for the Nuggets, too, by the way, because they got out to that big lead, and I'm like, okay, you always have runs. So I threw a little dollar on Memphis to finish within 25 and a half. Nailed it.
Just
25.
Just barely.
Yes.
Just barely.
Thank you for that. I'll take that little $4. Appreciate that. You know, but this team's really, we talk a lot about how the Avs and the, I guess, minor moves they made at the trade deadline have really helped solidify them. The Nuggets kind of stayed pat. They didn't really do anything.
They believed in the young guys on their bench.
Yeah.
They felt then, like what they saw from Brown last year, what they're going to get from Strother, the Peyton Watson's offensive game had evolved.
Yeah.
That they're like, let's just be patient here. We don't need to go out and make a big move. And it's paid off them because the young guys have played really well off the bench. Patience and Reggie Jackson came in last year, didn't seem to fit in. Limited minutes last year. Last night he got the start because of injury. Mm-hmm. He had 15 points last night. He's played well coming off the bench, spot starter.
Yeah,
it's what paid off in the belief that Reggie Jackson would find his way, would find a spot in this rotation.
I do like that they didn't just straight up go 5-5. That Justin Holiday, Peyton Watson, Colin Gillespie, those guys got run with Joker and KCP and Jackson and MPJ.
Gillespie had 7 assists last night.
He played 21 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the thing you look at is you have guys down the bench, and he was the 4th highest in minutes played off the bench. Like, the Nuggets had 4 starters play between 22 and 25 minutes. They had 4 bench players play 21 to 22 minutes.
And DeAndre Jordan, who got the start the other night in Portland and played well. He had 14 minutes last night, but he had 6 rebounds. He
six rebounds, a couple blocks.
Didn't score, but he had the 6 boards, the blocks, as you mentioned. So guys are coming off the bench last night, contributed in a big way. But then you look at Memphis, and
as a who's who of who's that?
Other than Scottie Pippen Jr.
And that's only his dad, too. The junior on that team I have a more familiar game of is Jaren Jackson Jr.
Exactly. Third.
Scottie Pippen Jr. is out there like, oh, is that? I'm guessing that's Scottie Pippen's kid.
It's 17
dating
points.
The Jordan daughter or something?
Yeah, he had 17 points.
Yeah, he had 17. He was all right, but no Ja Morant. Yeah. Dylan Brooks isn't there anymore, and they really, I hate to say they miss him because they're not good. That is not inspiring basketball to watch. Remember Grizzlies, Summer League champs? They had a parade and everything, it feels like, a couple years ago. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Nope. They are. That is just uninspiring.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad basketball team.
Man alive. Yikes.
Pretty bad basketball team. So the Nuggets with the one-game lead in the Western Conference right now after the win last night. And after the game, little Post Malone for you, some Michael Malone. Talk about the Nuggets win at Ball Arena.
You know, with Jamal and Aaron and Zeke all out, some guys got a lot of minutes that they hadn't gotten in a while. And I thought they all, you know, made the most of those minutes. So that team right now, Memphis, they're dealing with so many injuries. So, you know, we know who they are, what they're about. And, you know, tonight we caught a break with them having so many guys out. But we took advantage of it. You know, we didn't mess around with the game. And I wish that coming out of halftime, we were a little bit more serious with our approach, maybe. But, you know, we were able to kind of get back to playing the way we needed to and get a nice win.
All right, that's Michael Malone after the win last night by the Nuggets. All right, 7:34, and it's time for soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Well, the list of people without a podcast or a internet show continues to shrink because Mark Jackson, former NBA star, Warriors head coach, who doesn't get any rings for setting them up for their dynasty, but should, he also now has, it's not a podcast because it's a video on YouTube. I don't know. Anyway, his co-host or whoever the guy is was asking him about best trash talkers that he ever went up against. Gary Payton was number one. Second guy he lists was our man, Chuck. We love Charles Barkley. And it's for stories like this that I love Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley, trash talker extraordinaire. Quick story about him. I'm in my second year, I believe, playing for the Knicks. He's playing for the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm not a natural scorer, but this is one of those days where I got it going. So down the stretch of the game, I'm scoring, he's scoring. We talking trash to each other. End of the game, we finally win, get into the locker room. Media runs towards me. I'm like, what is going on? Charles Barkley said y'all bet on the game. What? Said Barkley says y'all bet on the game. So next day, the New York headlines in the papers, Jax and Barkley bet on game. So now the commissioner at the time, David Stern, sends a message. Charles Barkley and Mark Jackson get to the New York headquarters immediately. Take the train, go to the headquarters. I'm in second year. I'm like, this is crazy. This dude talking about we betting the game. Like, it's not, I'm scoring him. Like, I bet I cross your dude over and score on him. Next thing, he comes up and said, I bet I dunk on y'all. He does it. So we're in the commissioner's office. And the commissioner's like, there's no betting in basketball. It will not be tolerated. I'll throw you guys out of the league.
David Stern?
David Stern. How dare you guys even insinuate that you're betting? I'm like, this is my second year. I ain't make that kind of money. I'm not set for life. I need some help. So I'm panicking in the office. So he says, I'm going to give you 15 minutes. I'll be right back with my decision. So I'm sitting there, Charles Barkley, an all-star, superstar, and it's just me, worried about my future. The commissioner leaves out the room. Charles Barkley looks at me and goes, I bet you won't throw us out the league.
Best part is, I can see that story happening exactly that way.
Oh, yeah,
David
no doubt.
Stern being all upset and Charles Barkley like, I bet he ain't going to do that.
He's not going to do that. I'm crazy.
Charles probably like, he ain't going to throw me out of the league. He might throw you out of the league.
But not me.
Yeah.
Not me.
Great story about Charles.
That's a great story. All right, 7:36, and we'll have Stadium Cinema brought to you by Triple Play Records coming up next hour, but I thought this hour, because we're also busy going over to Craft Coffee and Beer. Once again, we're going to be over at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer for Mav Day today. And so make sure you stop by, grab yourself a cup of coffee over there, say hi to James. And it's 1144 North 12th Street and Glenwood across from CMU. We'll be over there from 9 to 10 this morning. Chris Hanks is going to be out there.
Yes.
Skipper's going to be there. Megan Bodie's going to be there from the softball team. Mickey Winder and Lauren White from the swim team.
Is he going to lobby us to come out and swim?
Probably.
He usually does.
I'm going to say he'll probably try to get us to do that again.
I mean, Coach of the Year carries a little more swim.
Yeah, he's like, hey, come on, Coach of the Year. Yeah. Are you going to say no to the Coach of the Year?
I'll find a way, but he's going to try.
So we'll be out there from 9 to 10 this morning. So please stop by. We'd love to see you out at Colorado Craft Coffee and Beer House. Once again, that's 1144 North 12th Street in Glenwood. Right across from the CMU campus. We'll be over there after a bit. All right. Let's go ahead and do Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia this morning. And you could win today a gift certificate to Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar. Perfect place to watch March Madness or taking the Avs Montreal tonight, which we'll have here on the team, by the way, at 6:30. It's the home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee, by the way. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's free at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam's Place.
Apparently, a banging Reuben, too, is what Taylor said.
Chicken fried steak. I keep singing its praises. It's fantastic. Yeah, but Taylor loves the Reuben there. Here's the question today. It's an Avalanche question, since the Avs are playing tonight here on the team against Montreal. Who do the Avs beat in the first round when they won the 2001 Stanley Cup? Which team do they beat in the first round when they won the 2001 Stanley Cup? No multiple choice. Got to figure it out. If you won the last 2 weeks, sit it out. Wrigley Field Cottonwood Sports Trivia this morning. Who do the Avs beat in the first round when they won the 2001 Stanley Cup? Who is the team that they beat in the first round? So first correct answer wins on the team line, 970-242-1340. All right. And by the way, if you win, you are into the never-ending contest from Haining Home Services, a new air conditioning system for your home. You must own your home, by the way. Details at theteam1340.com. If you win today, you're into the never-ending contest. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Wyatt Thompson, our college basketball insider, will join us next to talk about the Sweet 16. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking college basketball with the team's insider, Wyatt Thompson, on the Jim Davis Show.
And with us right now, he's the voice of Kansas State Wildcats. He's our college basketball insider, Wyatt Thompson. Good morning, Wyatt. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You got a little more free time, though. You still have Kansas State baseball that's on your schedule. But I'm happy for Iowa because I do root for Iowa, but I was unhappy for you because I have become I do have a very soft spot for Kansas State because of your affiliation there. At least you got a nice trip to Iowa City, right? For the Wildcats.
Yeah, it was, you know what, I appreciate your honesty there. I kind of figured that was the case, right? I really enjoyed the trip there, even with the loss, because I had not been to Iowa City for a game. I'd been there a couple of other times for different reasons. Our hotel was right across the street from Kinnick Stadium, which was really cool. And then just ahead of that to the north is the basketball arena, which, in all honesty, is one of the more unique facilities I've been to in my career. When you drive up on it, it looks like you're coming up to a bridge. And it sets underground. It was, I think, dedicated in 83, and I loved it. I thought it was terrific. And unfortunately for K-State, they played really, really well in the first 8 or 9 minutes, and K-State fought uphill all night. So kind of a tough way to close the year, and I'm just going to say it was a year where I'll probably always look back on and say, what if? Because had we had Naquan Tomlin, had we had Quez Glover, I think things would have been different. I think it would have been an NCAA tournament team. But, hey, everybody has issues from time to time, and K-State no exception, right? This is kind of what it is. But I was a pretty good club. I liked it there.
Wyatt Thompson, our Big 12, our college basketball insider, joining us on the Jim Davis Show as we switch to the NCAA tournament. Have maybe got a chance to watch it like, some of us that don't have day jobs, really. We just do this and watch basketball all the time. What are your thoughts on the first weekend of the main tournament? We had some upsets, but once we got to the second round, it kind of started to filter itself out.
Well, that's pretty well said. I think that's accurate. I'll tell you what I liked. I'll kind of just give you just a real short summation of it. I like the fact that, you know, despite 8 teams getting in from the Big 12, and I'm a Big 12 guy, you guys know that, and 8 teams in from the SEC, if you're being honest, those weren't the dominant tournament teams, conference teams, that we thought was going to dominate, right? I mean, it was more... You know, and really, I was a little disappointed in the Mountain West showing, too. But I think you have to look at the ACC and the Pac-12 and say, maybe they should have got a little more run. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Pac-12 showed really well. I think Colorado showed that they, you know, maybe were kind of given a bad shake with that 10 seed and having to play in the play-in game. Oregon showed really well with the upset of South Carolina and then holding really tight with Creighton for about 35 minutes. I also think Dan Hurley's got a point that maybe people were kind of overlooking the Big East to an extent because you got UConn in there, you got Marquette, you got Creighton, all these teams that it's like, all right, well, Creighton's a 3 seed, Marquette's a 2, UConn are defending champs, we'll give them a 1. They've all played really well, and even though Marquette kind of had to hold on to beat Colorado, they've been pretty dominant.
I'm with you there. I really, really like them a lot. I'm a big fan of their team. I think they're very well coached, and I love watching Tyler Kolek play, don't you? and then as far as Creighton goes, they're kind of similar in some ways. I love Kalkbrenner. Shireman can really play. I like their point guard. I hadn't seen a lot of him, and I think he had 20 in their last game and was really good. But there's always – let's go back to that original thought, though. There's always going to be a team or two in there, right? I mean, what about NC State and what they've done? Isn't that the coolest story ever? Win 5 games in 5 days in the ACC tournament, and then, you know, a week later they're in the Sweet 16. Not supposed to happen quite like that, is it, guys?
No, we've been talking about it all week so far that we waited all weekend for NC State to run out of gas, and they never seemed to.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting to watch them because I know Burns, people look at him and see a really, really big guy that's somewhat oddly built, but they miss what he brings to the table, and that is a guy who can score with either hand. He has really soft touch. He has the ability to score. But maybe the most overlooked part is his ability to pass out of the post. He's really good at it. And because of that, he makes everybody around him better. I don't know that they'll beat Marquette, which is hard. But for them to get to this point, I think you've got to give him a lot of credit and that coaching staff a lot of credit, especially with some heat on him, because they were talking about maybe letting Kevin Keats go before the tournament, the ACC tournament, right? I mean, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not going to be like a Long Beach State thing. I think he's kept his job with the Woody Waits
speaking
play
of weird
the last
stories.
10 days.
Yeah,
no kidding. A strange story of Long Beach State. Wyatt Thompson, our college basketball insider with us. Tom Izzo made the comment that the NCAA needs to look at automatic bursts for mid-majors. I thought Tom Izzo was on the side of the little guy. When I read those comments, I'm kind of going, so what? Part of what makes the tournament exciting, why it's called March Madness, is the mid-majors, the Oaklands beating the Kentuckys, those kind of stories.
Yeah.
So Tom Izzo doesn't want that to be part of the tournament anymore? I just was like, wow, I was a little surprised. Well, we just need to seriously look at whether or not the mid-majors should get automatics. I was flabbergasted considering how he's always been the champion of the little guy in the past, at least according to him.
Yeah, I think we mentioned last week, guys, that with what Colorado State did to Virginia and Indiana State gets left out and the example you used, come on, let's do better. I thought the committee did an okay job of selecting. I'm not saying that. But one thing that has made this a billion-dollar empire is the mid-majors.
Yeah.
And you can point to anyone you want, whether it's Duquesne, whether it's, I mean, you James Madison, I mean, Oakland. Oh, how I remember Greg Campy bringing his team here to Manhattan. I had to look up the year. I couldn't remember. But he brought his team to Manhattan in 2008. And I'm not saying they were as good then as they were this year, but they had a real representative team. And I just think those types of teams, if you're going to continue doing this, and you're going to, especially if you're going to add to the tournament, which they are, you by God better have the mid-majors well represented. It's a joke if you don't. You mentioned Tom Izzo, but I'll tell you, Greg Sankey isn't helping this at all either.
No, he's not. No,
it's
he's
ridiculous.
Not.
Yeah.
And I've gone the other way with this over the last few years. I think the first four should strictly be at-large teams.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think
yes.
If you win your conference, your automatic berth should get you to at least Thursday.
Well, I guess I need to probably study up on this, but I don't understand why you have two 10 seeds playing in the first four. That makes no sense to me at all. None. The 16s, sure. But you've got two 10s on Tuesday, two 10s playing on Wednesday. Why? I don't understand that in any way, shape, or form. I just don't.
Wyatt Thompson, voice Kansas State Wildcats for College Basketball Insider, joining us on the program today. So I had Kentucky going to the Final Four. I'm embarrassed to say that.
No. I had Auburn winning. So.
You had Auburn winning.
Don't be embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know what? I told the guy the day of that game, he said, I took Kentucky out way too far. And I said, well, hang on a minute. I think they're the type of team that could get beat in the second round, or they could get to the finals and anywhere in between.
Okay, you make me feel less dumb.
I wouldn't feel all that bad about it, Jim.
Well, thank you, Wyatt. You're making me feel better today.
Yeah. And
what about Buckeye with his Auburn pick? I mean, he picked Auburn to win it.
Really? Well, they're talented.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Who?
Well, I'm not ripping him on that either. They're a talented team. I mean, they're. I'll be honest with you. I probably undervalued Alabama too. I thought they were pretty. How about A&M? And I just, a while ago, I talked about the SEC not performing all that well. But it is, I found it different, weird almost, that the teams that everybody thought were going to be so hard to knock out, it was kind of that next group. And sometimes it happens that way. And I'll talk about the Big 12 a minute here that way. You know, did you think Baylor would beat Clemson? I darn sure did.
Yeah,
and Clemson was the better team for all 40 minutes. It wasn't all that big a deal. There's a lot more parity than sometimes we want to talk about, whether it's Greg Sankey, Tom Izzo, Jim Davis, Wyatt, whoever it might be. It's just fact of life.
I have a team that comes from my conference, the Big Ten. Illinois feels a little unstoppable if they can continue shooting the way they did the first weekend.
Well, I'm a little prejudiced on Illinois because their head coach is a personal friend of mine. He was at Kansas State, as you guys know. He's from McPherson, Kansas. He's a really, really good basketball guy, and he happens to have a really good team. The only downside for Brad Underwood right now, in my mind, is that he's in the same regional with UConn. Other than that, I don't think there's any question they could be a Final Four team, and maybe even better than that. He's got them cooking, man.
Yeah, they're
really
playing,
good team.
Yeah, they're playing great basketball right now. And Wyatt, I guess so, as we head into the Sweet 16, I guess who do you like right now? I still feel like it's pretty wide open. I really feel like there's not, at least in my opinion, UConn maybe is your favorite the way they continue to play. But I feel like it's still anybody's tournament heading into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think they're the best team. And what I mean by that, if you look at the strength of their team in terms of they're good where you need to be good, point guard, wings, centers, all of those kind of things, but they're also really well coached, they have depth, and they're good at the defensive end too. I mean, you saw Klingon's line the other day, right? 14, 14, and 10 blocks.
Yeah.
That's pretty legitimate. And Northwestern's a pretty good team, I think. I mean, Are they a Final Eight team? No, but I think they're darn good. It's an interesting subject for me because I'm sitting here looking at a bracket here, and I look at, as an example, Creighton, Tennessee. I'm just going to be honest here, guys. I don't have to pay to get in and watch games very often because of my job. I would definitely pay to watch that live, wouldn't you?
Oh, no doubt.
I think that's going to be a heck of a game.
No doubt about it.
I think Houston Duke could be very entertaining too, honestly. Houston's, I've said all year long that they are on the defensive meter and on the toughness meter, they're as good as anybody. But can they be had on a given day? Well, almost. You know, you saw I don't know if you saw the end of the A&M game, but that was crazy. But they found a way, and that's kind of what they do. Would I be surprised if they got to the finals? No. Alabama, Carolina. I mean, they couldn't be more different. How do you see that one? That could be interesting too, I think.
I still like North Carolina. I have them winning it all. So that's kind of where that's where I still am. Alabama surprised me. They've stayed pretty hot shooting the basketball, and for Nate Oates, they've continued to play pretty well. Maybe it's that jacket. I don't know that he wears.
You love the jacket, do you?
It's interesting, no doubt about that. Hey, Wyatt, I always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, fellas. Good talking to you.
All right, take care. Wyatt Thompson, voice Kansas State Wildcats, our college basketball insider. Hour 2 coming up